Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger and Mika Villas back together again. It is Friday night, Saturday by the time most people hear this. How are you guys doing? Are you guys excited for the weekend? I know I am.
Are you kidding me? Am I excited for the weekend? This weekend is going to be fantastic. It's been a long, long week. It seems like I've been away from the one thing that I miss so much and love, which is wrestling, but time to jump right back in the saddle and go, go, go.
Yes, we are back together. It has been, you know, a long week, quite some time without some live wrestling, but we're here to talk about wrestling. And then this Sunday, of course, we have a wrestling show that we'll all be at. We'll talk more about later, but it's great to be back with you guys. And as always, we'll have a lot of fun, a lot of interesting wrestling to discuss.
We will be discussing a lot of wrestling. While a lot of research has not been done for this wrestling conversation, you know, disclosure there.
Very little.
We will talk about wrestling and give our thoughts on what's going on.
I thought we were talking about Big Brother 20. This is not that show? Crap. I'm in the wrong place.
Well, we were talking about the 18 seasons of Dallas or something, right? Weren't we talking about that? Are we going to talk about Dallas and who shot JR?
I thought we were talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer after we were talking about Big Brother. I got the wrong notes here, guys. I'm sorry. I didn't do my research.
The fall premieres did happen. TV shows all over are going on, of course. Everybody's favorite shows are coming back. Everybody's excited about that. But the only shows that we're going to talk about are wrestling related. And let's start with one show that, you know, I haven't watched in forever. Not sure about you guys. But it's Impact Wrestling. Why don't I want to speak about Impact Wrestling? You know, no, they're not paying me. I mean, because that basically is what it would take at this moment. But no, the reason why is because their Hall of Fame is going to be happening in October. And the first, if not only, entrant into the Hall of Fame, as announced, is going to be the Monster Abyss. So Abyss will be enshrined into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame this upcoming month of October. Of course, I think like the week or weekend of Bound for Glory, as is the tradition. So there we go. Abyss, is he the right call? I think he is. Well deserved. He's a lifer for the company. Somebody who's, you know, who's inspired a lot of things throughout the years for Impact Wrestling. He's definitely been somebody who's, you know, who's been there, fought them all, has had different incarnations, you know, as the Monster Abyss, whether it may be, you know, the lawyer. But yeah, so here we go. Your thoughts on Abyss getting into the Impact Hall of Fame?
I mean, I really like Abyss. You know, he's been there since the, you know, original Asylum days, brought in as Kid Cash's muscle. And he's been with Impact ever since. He's not one of the guys that has left and come back. He's been with Impact, you know, since his debut with them. He's done everything with them and for them. You mentioned, you know, his lawyer character, Joseph Park, and all this. You know, he had their barbed wire match on pay-per-view, which was a big thing for them. He's literally given buckets and buckets of his blood for that company. He's given teeth for that company. If anybody is as much a company man as Abyss, I think you'd be hard pressed to find one. So putting him in their Hall of Fame is absolutely right, the right move to do. You know, he's like one of their few homegrown talents who stayed homegrown and didn't go for bigger pastures somewhere else, or you know, I don't there may or may never have been interest, but he's always been with TNA and done everything that they've asked him, and so much more, from the bloodiest of bloody to the silliest of comedy. He's a heck of a talent, and I don't know what Impact would have been without the Monster Abyss for all these years. So I'm happy that they're finally kind of taking time to honor him, and everything that he's done in their own special way.
You hit the nail right on the head. Somebody who has led buckets for that company. I remember the first time seeing him on television and then seeing him live. At first, you know, at first glance with the mask, I was like, oh my gosh, they made their own little Mick Foley. That's cute. But then I watched him and I was like, wow, okay, not Mick Foley. This guy's something else. And in person, in the ring, just a you couldn't take your eyes off him. You knew you were looking at someone who was like a legitimate a threat. He was scary. He was big. He was quick. He was fast. And again, homegrown talent, somebody who they build so many, not just, you know, feuds with, you know, bringing in some names like Stevie Richards, and he worked against, if anybody remembers, Matt Morgan, the Steiners. He was there for so much of TNA's evolution and revolution, and the X Division, how he would beat up the littler guys and just make them look like stars. They're just crazy. I think my favorite thing is, of course, the Monsters Ball, watching a match that they kind of tailor-made for him, and all the craziness and tacks and just, whew, I mean, the silly thing with the Joseph Park or whatever, even that, I mean, it might not be the most enjoyable 30 minutes of television altogether, but again, it's showing the performer, showing his range, showing that he is willing to do anything and everything to be a part of that company in whatever role that they want him in. So it is giving the devil his due in this case by putting Abyss into the TNA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so congratulations to the Monster Abyss, as he will be joining, you know, a number of Hall of Famers to be a part of that for Impact Wrestling. I'm not sure if they're going to do more names. I think they've only done one a year.
I think they've done one a year so far. Jeff Jarrett, Gail Kim, I think they just did one a year, yeah.
Bubba Ray, I think they did last. I don't know. I mean, I have not done my research on the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame, so I don't know exactly, but whatever. All right, next, an interesting tidbit. You know, we've been talking about the, you know, women of wrestling, and of course, you know, they've added Tessa Blanchard as part of their team, training women, being part of the roster. Well, now they've added Sheryl Guerrero, the daughter of the late Eddie Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero. She will be their new ring announcer. Of course, she's also married to WWE superstar Aiden English, but here she's getting a shot. Apparently, she impressed people. And co-owner Jenny Buss of, you know, known for also owning the Los Angeles Lakers, I made the announcement that that Sheryl Guerrero will be part of the Wild team as their lead ring announcer. Did not know she was looking to get back into the wrestling business, but I think, you know, hey, if that's what she wants to do, and if she, you know, if she's got any close to the lungs that her mom does, I think she'll do great.
Well, you know, I mean, so you said, so they added Sheryl, but they've also talked about a couple other names who'd be bringing in. I mean, they're bringing in so many names for this taping in October 10th and 11th. They're hyping and listing names that we've seen and we know well, including Hall of Dead. Kiara Hogan was recently announced this week. Harlo O'Hara has also been announced is that she's going to be partaking. So WOW has been around for a long time in different incarnations. But this WOW superheroes show with Tessa's involvement, as well as Kiara and Harlo and that have been announced, it seems that they're trying to take this a lot more of a put a lot higher emphasis on wrestling this season or this kind of go around. They've done a lot of, you know, they've been done a lot of character stuff, and in the past they did, you know, you can find their DVDs at your local secondhand DVD shop for some of their older things, and a lot of it was very, very character driven. The matches weren't as exciting, but they're bringing in a lot of higher quality match talent, I think, this go around. They still have Santana Garrett as a big part of their organization. So I'm hoping that we can see a lot of things. There's talks that they're going to, you know, have a television show on Access TV. That'll be right there in a TV block with the New Japan on Access show. So hopefully they're looking for big things, and hopefully it can do a lot for everyone involved.
Yeah, I've listened to Shawl do some commentary. I think she did, as a matter of fact, she did some Reality of Wrestling, Booker T's promotion. She did a little commentary there. So being part of a wrestling family, a legacy, a dynasty like the Guerreros, having a mom, like you said, who has the voice of an angel like Vicky, doing ring announcing. I believe Shawl stopped wrestling because she got injured and just kind of never went back. So maybe, who knows, this could be her way, kind of dipping her toe back into the water, so to speak. And eventually she'll, you know, dive better than the Bella back into the ring. So we'll see. I look forward to hearing her do ring announcing, but her commentary was not bad at all. So here's to having a Guerrero back in a wrestling ring really soon.
You know, if that's what she wants to do, great. But if not, hey, she's still in the business. She's doing what she likes, and she's able to do something where maybe she doesn't have to take more bumps. And hey, if she wants to have a family, this allows her to be in a position where she can be there for tapings and then not have to work a rig schedule and be on the road all the time. I'm sure that can be hard as well. But, you know, I don't remember exactly when was the last time she wrestled or if she ever fully retired from the ring. But, yeah, happy for her.
We've talked about, quote-unquote, retiring, and you never really retire until you're underground, until you're 6 feet underground, okay? Another person, you know, there was a big ceremony last October for Atsushi Onita. You know, famed Japanese deathmatch wrestler. He was one of the founders of FMW. You know, he had his big retirement. His last retirement match was, you know, CZW had it in the United States. CZW did, you know, his last United States match ever. He had a big retirement show in Japan. Here we are a year later, and he's announced that he's joining up with a new upstart promotion. And so he's coming out of retirement, and he'll be going back. So, like so many others, and so many more to come, you never really retire from wrestling. Very, very few people stay retired all the way. You never really retire. There's always open opportunity for a return until you're literally dead and you can't return anymore. So let's just go ahead and say that you're once a wrestler or once in the wrestling business, you're always going to be in the wrestling business.
Now, speaking of retirements, and this one might actually stick. It looks like one broken Matt Hardy has now become retired Matt Hardy, as I know there's been speculations about him working hurt, having some injuries, and he has been tweeting a lot of different photos reminiscing of his career, and you know, he also put out a tweet that he, you know, worked his last contracted house show, and based on everything and his latest tweets thanking everyone, that he is ready to go back into the Hardy compound and with Queen Rebecca focus all of their powers given to them by these seven deities to take care of King Maxwell and Wolfgang. So Matt Hardy, if this is it for him, man, what a way to go. You know, he is one of these guys who has been able to reinvent himself. You know, he went from, you know, jobber Matt Hardy. You know, then he became the quote-unquote, you know, Backstreet USA, you know, the Freebirds of the WWE with Michael Hayes. Team Extreme then went on. He became, you know, Matt 2.0.
He's found ways every few years to kind of do something to change his persona, to make him interesting again.
Then going to Ring of Honor and doing his thing there. Then finally landing on Impact Wrestling, TNA at that time, I think. And introducing the world to his broken brilliance. And man, reviving his career, probably bring it to closest to the heights of when he and Jeff were part of Team Extreme in the Attitude Era. But on his own accord, he took, you know, something, you know, his talents and put out there something that at first I did not think was going to work. I found it odd, weird, and uninteresting. And then the second or third time, as things were, you know, kept going, my goodness, I was in love with the broken universe. Then see him come back to WWE with his brother at WrestleMania in Orlando and winning the championships. And then slowly but surely bringing back broken Matt Hardy and introducing it to the WWE universe and being able to do that. And I think his career has been one that's been fulfilling, and whether, even though he may have never won the world title in WWE, I think that he definitely did have a great career and should have no regrets. And if this is it for him, then, you know, I really hope that he enjoys whatever he does. There's rumors that WWE may be taping something, a possible pilot for maybe a series at the Hardy compound. Hopefully that comes to fruition. But if not, if this is the end for Matt Hardy, what a career.
Yeah, I mean, if this truly is it for Matt Hardy, you know, I mean, we all salute you. We've all been fans. He's been doing such great things for so many years, reinventing himself every few years, like you mentioned, some of the different incarnations of his persona to help keep it interesting. But you know, comes back and ready to spend that time with his family. You know, best of luck and getting that well-needed rest and time with your family. Maybe we see you again, maybe we don't. You know, but it's, he did pretty much just about everything you could do and always be relevant and always be a featured player without winning the world title. You know, we talked recently on a few weeks ago about some of our top wrestlers that never won the world title. If this is it for Matt Hardy, then we will maybe add him to that list, you know, come the future.
It's amazing that Matt went out at kind of the height of his resurgence, but also it's a good thing because the Hardy Boys are indeed now men, and Matt being the older brother is setting the example, I think, for young Nero, that it is okay to take off the boots and go home and be a father. Jeff has a child or children. I know he has a daughter. He might have another child out there as well, that, you know, it's okay to not climb off of ladders and fall onto grown men or have grown men stick stuff through your ear hole and twist. You can still be a part of the business just in a different capacity by, you know, watching, coaching, road agent, what have you. So clearly Matt Hardy has a mind for the business as he's created himself over and over again. And somehow now he can kind of sit back and look at his body of work and be proud and know that he accomplished a hell of a lot, considering that he and his brother both were never supposed to make it from their backyard there in Cameron, North Carolina. So it's almost bittersweet. Thankfully, I've seen the Hardy Boys. I was there when they came back at WrestleMania. That was a moment that literally I will never forget. I saw them in the TNA versions of themselves as well. So they again have such a body of work out there. Matt has been a very interesting character and person to watch over these years, and I look forward to that next generation of Hardys being out there when Wolfgang and Maxwell get bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to see what's next that comes from the Broken Universe, the universe that we live forever. Now, another thing that's going to live forever is the name Evolution. And no, I am not talking about the upcoming WWE Network special. What I'm talking about is the faction Evolution, as Triple H, Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair will reunite on October 16th for SmackDown 1000. The 1000th episode of SmackDown will be at your nation's capital on October 16th, and Evolution will reunite for the first time in a very long time. How long? Not sure. I did not do my research on that either. But they will be together again. What does this mean for Batista? Could this be a one-off? Or could this be the beginning of the return of the One Blue Man Gang?
I guess part of it decides, you know, how well he's received, I guess. And it depends if his acting schedule will continue. You know, I mean, he has big featured roles in the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Marvel comic movies. You know, I don't know if there's other interest from Hollywood continuing, you know, going on and on from that. Maybe, I guess that's part of the big thing, is this may be a one-off. I don't know if he'll return to wrestling if he's got, you know. I mean, similar to The Rock. The Rock is too much money to Hollywood if he gets hurt wrestling and they have to delay the shooting of something, you know, of a movie because he got hurt doing wrestling. That's going to put more of a hurt to Hollywood. I think Batista is getting towards that level. So he'll come back and he'll do this appearance. You know, he may throw a spine buster on somebody. But I don't know I don't think he's coming back to wrestle full time. And there's too much money to be made in Hollywood for him.
Too much money to be made in Hollywood. And honestly, was not a huge Batista fan. So if he stays where he is making movies on the Marvel Universe or the DC Planet or whatever, that's cool, man. I saw the reunion talk and I was like, oh gosh, no, we do not need that. But I understand. It's all about the money, 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 and getting more eyes on the product. You bring in a movie star like Batista, someone who does have some recognition from his outside endeavors, not just wrestling fans, but people who watch the movies. These were successful movies, The Guardians of the Galaxy and everything else. So you do bring in that person, you get more eyes, and they're hitting that demographic, that 18 to whatever, getting young eyes and people going, hey, this is kind of cool too. It's like a live action movie every week, whatever. Just, I don't want to see him in a ring again. I'm good.
Now, of all the factions that they could have brought back, I mean, DX, I think, would have, you know, maybe been too much because they come back for almost everything. But, you know, Evolution, I guess the next best thing, they already have two of the four wrestlers still on the roster. You know, Ric Flair is still under some type of, you know, very lenient Legends contract. And Batista, I mean, right now, he's unhappy with what's going on with his latest movie, as I think they removed his director and he was upset about that. So with Guardians 3 put on hold, I guess he didn't have anything to do at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I like Evolution. It'll be a nice treat. I'm not sure what other faction or group you could have put together and brought for special, such as SmackDown Live 1000. But yeah, we're getting close to the 1000th episode of SmackDown. And man, who knew the something with a, you know, that a Thursday show, that all I could think about it being the Rock show, because, you know, the Rock slayer, smack it down. I hope I can get to see the Rock on the Rock show. I guess maybe they couldn't get the Rock, so they got the Animal. It takes four people to replace one electrifying great one.
Yeah, that was a poor sub right there. Very poor sub. That's like, I don't know, putting somebody with a broken arm for your starting quarterback. Just makes no sense.
Who else do you guys think could be making a special appearance on SmackDown's 1000th episode?
Bring back Teddy Long, baby.
I was thinking, you got to have Teddy Long there, player, and Vicky will be there too.
Yep, you got to have Teddy Long, make it a tag team match, and put somebody in a one-on-one match versus The Undertaker. You know, I mean, SmackDown number one announcer Funaki needs to be there.
Indeed.
So, I mean, I don't know who else who, like, is, you know, tied to SmackDown so closely that it would be interesting to bring them back.
I would say bring back the SmackDown 6, but I think we may only have three of them that are alive.
Well, they're trying to do a new SmackDown 6, you know, so we'll see. But yeah, you don't bring back the original SmackDown 6, no.
No, yeah, I mean, again, research, right? Should have done my research maybe, but we're not going there this week. We've got Eddie Guerrero's gone. Chris is gone. So we have Kurt, Chavo, because I believe that they consider them one of the six.
I don't think Chavo was. I think Mysterio was.
And Rey. Well, yeah.
And Edge.
And Edge? Was Edge? No.
Yeah, I thought Edge wasn't part of it. No.
No, I think it was Guerrero. Both Guerreros. Because I think at that time we had Edge on Raw. So, yeah, I think that was it. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody on the Twitter? Hashtag hate FOW for no research.
Eddie, Kurt, Edge, Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio, and Chavo are technically who they refer to as the SmackDown 6.
All right, so we were both wrong. Yeah, I could see them bring back Edge, you know, as well. That's a possibility. He's not that far. I mean, he lives somewhere in North Carolina in the mountains. Get him out of there for a bit. But yeah, and Rey, you know, they just, you know, you know, the word out there is Rey finally signed his contract to return to WWE. So we may see him as a surprise. Maybe they're holding him out for SmackDown 1000.
Rey was a huge part of SmackDown when the stage was the big fist that came out of the Tron area there. So the 619 was holding it down. Maybe Lillian Garcia comes back. Bring your old, not to call her old, but your ex-ring announcer in. Have her, you know, call a couple of matches there. Let's not forget about JBL, Bradshaw. He sits around on the pre-show sometimes, so you can bring him down to the just to the ring. Maybe come out in this big limo with the horns on it. Something nice and cheesy and nostalgic.
All right, but we do have a few shows that we do want to talk about that are coming up. And let's start with this Sunday. Well, first of all, before the fact that we're going to go over a couple of shows happening this Sunday, there is an ROH pay-per-view happening today, tonight.
As we speak, it is live.
And I don't really even know who's wrestling in it, and I don't care.
It's probably half the New Japan roster against some other people that, you know, some of which we may still be surprised are with ROH. I'm seeing things on the Twitter box and such.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really paid attention to what the people on the Twitter machine are saying about Ring of Honor. But yeah, I did see that Ring of Honor is having a pay-per-view, and I was like, man, I had no clue. More power to them. We're going to go over three shows coming up in the next 7 days. Let's start with this Sunday. Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment presents their Season 5 premiere. Walk It Like We Talk It. All right, so here are the matches. Then we'll go over our predictions. Joe Black versus Simon Gotch for the Georgia Wrestling Crown. Eddie Kingston versus Chip Day. Owen Knight versus Slade Porter for the Georgia Heritage Championship. The Hierarchy's Blacklist Uno and Adrian Armour versus the Carnies. Roar for War, one of my favorite Roar matches. Cedar Zhang versus Harlow versus Aria Blake versus Kylie Rae, making her AWE debut. A number one contender scramble match for the Georgia Heritage Championship. Teddy King versus Chris Kronk for a qualifying match for the To Be The Man tournament. And as announced on the social media earlier today, Soo Young will be in the building. And of course, Soo Young is there. Entertainment will follow. But usually chaos is what leads. What do we think comes off here as the Season 5 premiere of AWE begins?
Well, I mean, we're going to see some new faces, see some of the, you know, are some of the AEW regulars that we've come to know, love, and hate. You know, but I, with all the talk of the big things that are coming for Season 5, I think this kind of gives an indication of which direction things are going to head. You know, there's the talk of the To Be The Man tournament once 2019 begins. They've already announced that there are several shows, you know, between now and the end of the year. Seems like more shows clumped together in a few months span than AWE's produced in quite some time. So hopefully that can help lead in some very good storytelling. You know, they're doing the season pass so the fans can be there live for all the events, you know, and have your ticket ready. 'Cause some of these events are going to be pass holder only, as they said, you know, including one on October 11th is going to be pass holder only. So that's only for members who have the season pass. And I'm interested to see, you know, there's been talk of changes and talk of, you know, oh, well, we want to take back AEW back to what it was, you know, and in the thing that originally made it so special, the thing that originally made everybody get so excited and interested in it. So I'm most excited to see how things may or may not change for AEW going through season 5 starting come this Sunday. I mean, we always know we're going to have a good time. We always know we're going to see great wrestling, but I want to know what else we'll see.
I think chaos was the perfect word. Season 5 is gearing up to be one of the most boldest seasons of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. There are a lot of changes that have taken place towards the middle and definitely at the end of season 4. And the one thing that is the constant is the content that Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment creates. AWE, you can say the letters, y'all. It's okay. The cease and desist, haha. We laugh at that. So AWE and these matches that are coming up, there are so many changes now with The Office. We've got talent coming in, the likes of Kylie Rae's making her debut, Simon Gotch or Simon Grimm, whichever we want to call him, to make sure, you know, we don't have more legalities flying at us. The fact that there is a new title in the mix, the Georgia Heritage Championship that was pulled in and absorbed from our sister promotion. So every match on the card has the potential to steal the show. Soo Young is going to be there. Soo Young is not scheduled for a match. That means nothing. Pass holders will definitely see her on October 11th for that season ticket holder, pass holder only show. So who knows what trouble she's going to stir up now and then. I'm breathless with anticipation because this is going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. And I'm blown away already because we've got talent on top of talent on top of talent here in AWE, and season 5 is kicking off with a bang, in my opinion.
All right, well, I'm going to kick it off with my predictions, and then you guys can follow. But first, the Georgia Wrestling Crown Championship match, I think Joe is going to retain. Simon Gotch, Simon Grimm, whatever you want to call him, is going to be a worthy opponent and a tough one. But I think that Joe Black will retain his championship, continue to reign supreme over Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Eddie Kingston hopefully will knock the heck out of Chip Day. Well, why? Because I love Eddie Kingston. I care less about Chip Day. Yes, I like to play favorites and unfavorites. And sometimes that's just enough for me. Like I said, no research needed. Then, Owen Knight versus Slade Porter. That could be a tough one. I mean, Slade's, he's got momentum on his side. Owen, you know, you always get those ups and downs. What will we see? I'm not sure how to call this one. I am going to go with Owen, though. I think that maybe this is finally what's going to get the working team captain to step it up, you know, and get back to, you know, that fire intensity he had when he defeated Blacklist Uno in that, you know, blood match year two back. Then the Hierarchy versus the Carnies. Well, these are always wars. They always try to hurt each other. They go above and beyond to do so. There's no love lost between these two teams. There will be chaos. And of course, I'm going to be, as I always do, raising those six fingers up as I root for the Carnies to continue their dominance over the hierarchy. Roar for War. I'm going to favor, while she is returning from an injury, Kylie Rae. She, a few months back, became the first ever Mae King Towns Classic winner. I think definitely she's a great talent. Has been wrestling all over the United States and the world also. She also earlier this year made her debut in Japan. A lot of great contenders here. All four women are tough. Each one, I'm sure, has their case to win. But, you know, I'm going with Rey. Although I could see this going nowhere with Sue Young getting involved. But we shall see. To be the main qualifying match, Teddy King, Chris Kronk. Well, no disrespect, although it will sound like it, but I could care less. I want to see some of the best wrestlers in the United States participate, not two guys that really don't interest me that much. Although Teddy King does have somewhat of a personality that I can actually enjoy watching. It doesn't really excite me to see either of these two guys in what I have in mind as my choice of 16 men on being in this inaugural tournament here for AWE. But yeah, you know, I think Chris Kronk, you know, he always has the fans on his side, and that is something that you can always call it a plus for most people. And so he could very well take this one. But then Teddy King, you know, he's very athletic, great wrestler on his own, and a very good wrestler. And, you know, still is somewhat unknown. And Ada Louis only been here a couple of times. So anything could happen. If I had to pick a name, yeah, why not? Chris Kronk. I'm going to go with that and help hate myself for saying it if indeed does happen. What else could, what other matches could there be? You know, there's gonna be a scramble match. Can't predict that one because I don't know who's participating, but I love the scramble matches. They're always fun, and I can't wait to see this one and enjoy it as much as I do all the other ones.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a scramble match for the number one contender for the new, you know, Georgia Heritage Championship. You know, the title that, that came over from UIW, Owen Knight winning that on the last UIW show. There I have to go with Chris Mayne. I think this is now the time for Mayne to bust out of the pack. You know, he was the Battle Royal King. He and Owen Knight kind of were working to try to get a tag team formed. Now Owen Knight has a singles title. You know, I think this is time for Chris Mayne to break out of the pack and show what he can do in singles action and show that he can be a top level competitor. You know, we've seen shades of that from him over time, but I think, now's the time for the common main to step up and be the uncommon main. I do think that he won't be fighting Owen if he wins. I think that Slade Porter will find a way to win the Georgia Heritage Championship. I think, you know, Owen's stepped up his game and his training and stuff, you know, the last several months, and his physique is looking better and better. But I think that Slade has just kind of taken too much from the tutelage of the, you know, the dons of the hierarchy. And I think that Slade is just going to be more ruthless. Slade's going to be willing to bend and break the rules in order to win. And I don't know if that's the kind of man that Owen is anymore. I think he wants to work. I think he wants to outwork his opponent. I think that Slade's going to be a little more calculating and try to pick apart Owen. I think that's going to lead to victory. I've enjoyed the promo back and forth between Chris Kronk and Teddy King. Makes me more excited to see this match than I was when it was first announced as a qualifier. You see a little bit more fire in Chris Kronk from his promos about Teddy King than we've seen in him in a long time. If he can keep that fire and maintain that, I think Chris Kronk has the ability to find himself in the To Be the Man tournament. You know, there's been a long discussion. I think Chris has discussed, you know, what does he need to do to get to the next level? If he can get kind of that fire in his stomach and bring that into the ring, he can, that can help him get to the next level. And I think he could possibly get Teddy King, you know, knock Teddy King out and take it and win this match. You mentioned, you know, you mentioned Kylie Rae returning, but Aria Blake's returning from an injury as well. It's been quite some time since we've seen Aria Blake in the ring. So I think she's going to have a lot to prove. You know, everybody does. Kylie Rae wants to prove herself in front of the new audience. You know, Zeta and Harlow, you know, had a great match at the end of season four. But I think that Aria is going to come with much more to prove. You know, she's there. You know, I mean, she has yet to fill the shoes of some of the women who've previously been in the hierarchy. You know, you had Tessa Blanchard, who was the original first lady of the hierarchy, and then you had Kimberly, you know, who was in the hierarchy. So I think Aria will step up her game. I think this, as much as I like, you know, I'm a fan of some of the girls, I think Aria feels she has more to prove in this, and I think she'll step up and find a way to take this. That is, of course, not taking into account the Sue Young factor, which Sue possibly could find herself involved in this match. We don't know. That's the biggest thing with Sue Young, especially yet again, having Sue in the building is the thing, but her not having a scheduled match, not having somewhere she has to focus her energy directly. You know, we could see her a part of this match, interfere. It's Roar. There are no rules. You know, there's no way to stop her from getting involved or affecting the outcome of this match. But you know, maybe Sue Young finds herself involved in the tag match between the Carnies and the Hierarchy. One of the longest and bloodiest feuds we've seen in AWE has been the Carnies and the Hierarchy. You know, but so much time has passed. So many other people have come in and out between these two teams. So maybe we find Sue getting herself involved in this match. And if that is the case, I definitely would have to say that she would side more so with the Carnies, be it probably by default. I don't know if she really has any love for the Carnies, but she definitely would look to do what she can to exact some further revenge against Uno and Armor. You know, especially with Uno leading, you know, heading into their one-on-one matchup at the Just for the Fans event on October 11th. Now, Chip Day and Eddie Kingston don't technically have an official match. Eddie Kingston has not really accepted. He hasn't officially accepted the challenge of Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston wants Chip Day one-on-one. Eddie Kingston blames Chip for sticking his nose too many times in his attempts to get the GWC. And so Eddie Kingston now wants Chip Day one-on-one, and Chip refuses to kind of make any public statement, refuses to say whether he'll be there or not. If he is there, I certainly, alongside you guys, or Patrick especially, hope that Eddie Kingston knocks Chip's lights out, puts Chip to sleep, and you know, gets the spoiled little brat, knocks him back into his place. You know, Chip Day was at the top of the, you know, he was the GWC champion. He lost that belt and kind of became this spoiled little brat where he doesn't, you know, he's interrupting championship matches and, you know, refusing to do this and trying to politic his way into matches and all this. I hope Eddie Kingston, you know, knocks him around and knocks some sense into him and keeps him as and knocks him back down the ladder. I haven't really seen much of Grimm, of Simon Gotch, you know, since he's been away from the vaudevillains, you know, since leaving WWE. So I don't know what all he can bring, what all he can change. You know, I really only saw him as part of a tag team that were, that bordered on comedy. So maybe, you know, Joe Black wanted to challenge him. There's a reason for that. Joe Black sees something that, you know, is worthy of giving Grimm a GWC championship opportunity. I expect it'll be a good match, but I think I have to side with Joe, definitely, just because I 100% know what Joe is capable of, and we've seen some of the things and the way he talks and how much the GWC means to him and how much it means to lead AWE and where the championship. And I think he's going to be willing to do whatever's needed to win and retain the championship. And we may, you know, we, you know, Grimm may make fans of all of us. We don't know. To me, that's a big thing, is I don't know what he can bring. I don't know how much he can bring it, but management and Joe as well apparently see something in him that honors a championship match. You know, but most of all, we know we're going to have a good time. We're going to see some great wrestling.
This card, yeah, you guys, you nailed it on the head. So I'm going to kind of run through some stuff and kind of point out some things that you kind of already hit already. I'm going to start with the champ, Joe Black. I think Simon Gotch is going to be his most technical challenge to date. Gotch is more cerebral. Where Joe is cerebral, he's also powerful. So I don't expect this to be easy, but I really think that this will be indeed a challenge for Joe to retain his title. Eddie Kingston, I don't know that he really needs a match with Chip Day. He may just pop Chip Day and fight him, not necessarily get into the ring with him. So if Chip Day is sleeping, Eddie Kingston will catch him and a fight will ensue. And I'm thinking that maybe we should find security. That's just my thought. The Georgia Heritage Championship, Owen and Slade. I like what you guys said, what you said about Slade. Slade's in a different place right now. Dare I say, Slade has stepped up his game to the point where everything works for him. The attitude, the mood that is set when he comes out. I'm burn a man's bed all you want to, Owen. It doesn't matter. Slade is probably going to win. And that's just my thought. Hierarchy and Carnies, no love lost there. And this is where I think the chaos is really going to ensue. Let's not forget that Sue Young was supposed to get married to one Sugar Dunkerton. The reason she did not is the hierarchy. I think that the Undead Bloody Bride is coming to wreak revenge on everybody, but especially the hierarchy. I don't think there was going to be any stones unturned, any kendo sticks not swung from this match. So we're going to see what happens. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps Sue is just there to cause chaos elsewhere, but you break up my wedding, I know I'm coming for you full force. And that's just me. Roar for War. This is the one I'm really looking forward to. These four ladies, I'm going to say this is the first time all four of them have been in the ring against each other. And if it's not, it doesn't matter. Because Roar rules state that there are no GD rules, which means any and everything goes. Aria does have a lot to prove. Coming back off her injury, being the first lady of the hierarchy, losing is never an option in the hierarchy. And especially when there are no rules, you can do anything. I see Arya pulling this out, but not without a hard fight from all the rest of the girls. The scramble match, you guys talked about it. Ashton Starr, I know, is in the scramble. Ashton Starr is also someone who has been constantly a constant in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, but Ashton is indeed a star. Anyone in the scramble against Ashton better look out, because it is past time for Ashton to establish himself and perhaps somewhere sooner rather than later pick up some gold in Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. To be the man qualifying tournament, Teddy King and Chris Kronk. 30 seconds promo by Teddy King had me all in. I loved it. I love the venom. I love the hate. I love the poignantness of it all. I just, Chris Kronk has destroyed one too many tag teams for me, and he is constantly trying to find himself. I think come Sunday, he's going to find himself at the bottom of the Varsity Athletes boot.
All right, so that is AWE Season 5 premiere this Sunday at Opera Nightclub. All information on Facebook, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. They have tickets at the door for $20. So it'll be a fun time, great live event to go to. But another event happening this Sunday, also all the way from Long Beach, California, is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Fighting Spirit Unleashed, as they are having their, I guess, annual Long Beach show. But I think this is the second one. I can't remember. I mean, they did one in Long Beach, then in San Francisco. So they're back in Long Beach now. So hard to keep track. Again, I didn't do my research of how many New Japan Pro Wrestling shows have happened in the U.S. this year. Probably not enough for me to not remember, but who cares? I don't. All right. In no particular order, Jushin Thunder Liger versus Kitaguchi and ACH versus Roppongi 3K. The Addiction versus Bullet Club Elite. That's Hangman Page, Chase Owens, Jeff Cobb, Chris Sabin, and Flip Gordon versus Goto, Beretta, and Chucky Taylor. Los Ingobernables de Japón, Naito, Sanada, and Evo versus Suzuki Guns, Zack Sabre Jr., and the Killer Elite Squad. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kushida versus Jay White and Ghetto. Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll in a IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament semifinal. The winner, of course, facing Kushida in the finals. The Young Bucks defending the IWGP Tag Team Championships versus Guerrillas of Destiny. Juice Robinson defending the IWGP United States Championship versus Cody Rhodes. And Okada and Ishii versus the Golden Lovers in what should be your main event of the evening. All right. Now, we're not going to do a whole breakdown of all these matches, but any matches here that are sticking out to you guys? Of course, the main event, Okada and Ishii, the Golden Lovers, is a match I'm really looking forward to. Ospreay and Skrull there, and they've had many a battles in the past. Don't ask me how many. Didn't research that either. The Young Bucks and the Guerrillas of Destiny, of course. Right now, the Golden Elite, or Bullet Club Elite, and the Bullet Club OGs, the Firing Squad, they're going at odds. This is going to be a major battle. So yeah, so those are pretty much the matches. I mean, Cody Juice, I mean, that's for the diehards of the New Japan product and Ring of Honor fans to enjoy. So yeah, but for me, those are pretty much the matches I'm looking forward to. All the other matches are all, you know, standard New Japan Pro Wrestling tag matches that are good and enjoyable, but not necessarily make me go crazy for them.
One of the big things that I want to see more of, and we get a little bit of it in one of the matches, is Jay White and Ghetto, what they're doing now. So, you know, they both attack Okada, claim that they're, you know, make a statement saying they're going, seemingly that they're leaving Chaos to go out on their own. They'll be teaming together against Tanahashi and Kushida. Interested to see more with this pairing. You know, is it going out on their own as wrestler, you know, Jay White being the new kind of prodigy and Ghetto leading him, or are they looking to build another faction of their own and possibly try to combat combat against all of Chaos? Or are they just looking to take people down one at a time? That's to me is the biggest thing, because that was quite kind of the shocker there. Not just Jay White leaving, but with Ghetto decided to turn his back on the Rainmaker. You know, they've been a pair for several years now. So interested to see the continuation of that storyline, and where that, you know, where the Switchblade goes.
I want to see the OGs, the Gorillas of Destiny, because I am loving their social media versus the Young Bucks. I am really wanting to see what happens there, because who doesn't want to see people get their heads kicked or clotheslined the hell off? I mean, that's just me. I'm not evil. It's going to be good. Everything else, like you said, I'm also looking, I don't know if this qualifies for me for your statement, but I do want to see Juice versus Cody. I think Juice has come such an incredibly long way, and to watch his growth in New Japan has been especially, I don't know, I was going to say heartwarming, but it's just been the work. He's put in the work, and to put him in there with Cody is going to be a sight to behold. So especially with the title being on the line. So that's another one that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, there's definitely a few matches out there that we're all looking forward to just to see. And of course, New Japan tries to make these shows stand out and be somewhat special for the crowds. Should be another sellout crowd in Long Beach. So that'll be happening. Everybody can catch that, live outside of the United States, I assume, on New Japan World. Probably be on Access TV here in the U.S., like prior shows, I reckon. Should have researched that, I guess, but, you know. But anyways, that'll be on demand on New Japan World as of, Monday or Tuesday, so definitely everybody check that out. I know I will be checking out the VOD. So two great shows, to kick off October, and then we have next weekend from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, WWE's Super Showdown. And here are the matches. Some may be tweaked. You know, cards are subject to change. We got Triple H with Shawn Michaels in his corner versus The Undertaker with Kane in his corner. Bobby Lashley and John Cena versus Kevin Owens and Elias. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz in a number one contenders match for the WWE Championship. The Shield versus Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. The Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey versus the Riot Squad. Of course, that's to be determined with Liv Morgan's concussions that she recently acquired. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship in a no count out, no disqualification match. Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy for the Cruiserweight Championship. The New Day versus The Bar for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair for the Women's SmackDown Championship. And Asuka and Naomi versus The Iconics as The Iconics make their triumphant return to Australia. What matches are you guys looking forward to here?
First and foremost, I'm looking to see Becky Lynch put the hurting on Charlotte. Put her out to pasture. You know, Evolution's getting back together, so Ric Flair will be doing some more ugly crying. You know, maybe he can go ahead and shed some of those tears early when Charlotte's forced to leave wrestling after Becky Lynch snaps her arm off her shoulders. AJ and Samoa Joe, you know, we've talked about it, how it's the feud, you know, that we don't necessarily deserve, we need, but we don't necessarily deserve. So to see that kind of continue with the added stipulation, you know, hoping to clear up the somewhat controversial finish from their last meeting, you know, no count outs, no disqualifications. So hopefully there will be a more definitive winner between those two. You know, Daniel Bryan and The Miz, of course, yet again continuing that long time feud and storyline, but you add the additional stipulation to it of making it for number one contendership for the WWE Championship. We know Miz is more than willing to take shortcuts, and if there's a championship opportunity in it, he's definitely going to be willing to take shortcuts. But just, you know, I mean, it's a 10 match card, so I assume it'll be a 4-hour show. But you're going to have, you know, I think those are just a few of the things that I'm most excited for, from that show.
I am all about seeing the Hound of Justice, the way they have been twisting and pulling and threatening a Dean turn. You never know what's going to happen down under. It's always damn wacky. So
you flush the toilet and the water goes the other way.
Exactly. So who knows how unhinged the lunatic fringe, who's looking like a baby Triple H now with his haircut, what's going to happen? I don't know. Speaking of Triple H, I know it's probably not the last time we'll see them in a ring together, because they said it's the last time you'll see them one-on-one. There is the caveat there. There'll be a tag team match. They'll be back, whatever. Anyway, I am looking forward to it only because these are legends in the business. I am still a diehard Triple H fan, even though it's kind of behind me now. I've got new guys to, you know, fawn all over. Undertaker is Undertaker. I want to see a decent match, not like the last Undertaker match where, you know, when he was in the match with Cena, that was just heartbreaking. And I think if anybody's going to really put the dead man out to pasture in a spectacular form, Triple H is the man to do it. Let's not forget that he and his wife gave Ronda Rousey her first match and made her look, you know, feasible as a WWE superstar. So I'm looking forward to seeing this match with Undertaker and seeing exactly what all parties involved, the heartbreak old man and the big red mare, do when these two legends lock up in the middle of Australia.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Of course, there are rumors as far as Shawn Michaels and a possible return to the ring at Saudi Arabia, and it's all going to start with what happens in Australia. So we'll talk more about that after Super Showdown. But that is it for tonight. Thank you all for listening. And make sure you subscribe to the FOW Radio Network. You don't have to research how to find us. I will tell you. We're on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Check any of those places out. Look for Fans of Wrestling or FOW Radio and hit the subscribe button. And give us a follow on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. Endanger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. Thanks for listening and keep watching wrestling.